Hear these words from James 5, verses 15 and 16. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Open our eyes, Lord. Open our ears, Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills that we may serve you now and always. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Amen. So this series has been all about authenticity in our relationships. And so far, we've talked about being authentic with our life partners, our support team, and now we'll turn our attention towards being authentic with your crew. So I'll be honest with you, I had to ask Chris what a crew was, because I'm pretty sure that's a term that was used in the 90s, and there were only a couple of years in the 90s where I wasn't in diapers. I'm just kidding, I just really like making Chris feel old. But anyway, your crew refers to those people who you share your life with, your best friends. I would call it your squad. So these verses of James shed light on what our friendship should look like. If you're a straightforward kind of person, you would love reading the book of James. He cuts right to the chase. He doesn't mince words. James tells you what you need to do. And in this passage, he tells us that we should pray for one another, confess our sins with each other. But I'm guessing that most of us need a little more explanation and convincing to make that happen. Praying for other people can be really daunting, but confessing our sins to people, that can be downright painful. That's because we're natural hiders. Think back to when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They covered themselves and hid from God. We don't like when our weaknesses and shortcomings come into the light. But the scripture tells us to, so we should probably figure out why. So this entire passage operates on the understanding that the Christian faith is not intended to be lived in solitude. I mentioned Adam and Eve earlier, and once God had created Adam, he says, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." So the peak of creation was building relationships. At the very start of humanity, God had intended people to help one another. And we can fast forward to Genesis 12. This is when God makes a covenant with Abraham saying, "And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." So God forms the people of Israel to grow in relationships and bless other people. And from the beginning of Christ's ministry in the gospel, he's pulling people into relationships. And he gathers disciples around him to do life together, to fellowship, to learn, to grow, and serve together. And the church was founded on the principles of relationship. Acts 4 says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common." The church began to grow and spread through these close-knit relationships. But even though God's intention for us was to live in authentic and personal relationships, it rarely comes naturally to us. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sinned against him, authenticity became dreadful. They hid from God and covered up their sin. Shame took over, and the relationship with each other fell as Adam blamed Eve for what had happened. And the relationship with God crumbled as they chose deceit instead of transparency. And in the same way that Adam and Eve tried to cover up their mistakes, we often choose to do the same. But our cover of choice isn't fig leaves. Instead, it's masks. That's because somewhere along the way, we've been taught to only portray the best version of ourselves. And we've believed a lie that we always have to have it all together. We think we have to be strong and never let anyone see the pain or struggles that we experience. And when we do this, we trade in the support of a loving God and a caring community and try to manage our lives on our own. But once we do this on our own, we realize that no matter how hard we try to deal with our sin and struggles, they continue to creep in. And we put on a happy face and we tell ourselves that we can just try harder. We just need to be better. And when that continues to fail, we start to doubt God. And our view of him and ourselves becomes distorted. And we start to wonder, maybe God can't satisfy me as much as this sin. Maybe God doesn't care. Maybe there is something so wrong with me that God could never fix it. And we may even start rationalizing sin. We might say to ourselves, if I'm going to feel like a failure anyway, I might as well enjoy it. When we do that, instead of admitting to God and our friends that we're struggling and ask for help, we put on a new coat of paint on our mask. We try to pretend like nothing's wrong. And this cycle of trying to control our lives and refusing to admit that we're broken, it's exhausting. And this is a temptation for all of us, but I'm going to tell you the hard truth. Many men really have a hard time with these masks. Many of us were raised in a society that told us that real men don't ask for help. Real men don't share their feelings, or real men don't vent about the issues they're facing. And I just wanted to say that toxic lie goes against the teachings of Scripture. That's because all Christians are called to authentic and transparent relationships. So I did some research on the different types of masks that we wear to try to hide our true identity from God and those who are closest to us. So maybe listen to this list and see if any of them resemble your own life. Maybe you're the tough guy or gal. You try really hard not to let anything affect you. And instead of sharing when you're upset or struggling, you just grit your teeth and keep going. And on the surface, that looks great. But you're building up resentment and you're tiptoeing through life because you know you might soon explode. Maybe you're the comedian and you make everyone laugh so that they can't see that you're hurting. And when things get too heavy, you tell a joke to lighten the room instead of actually dealing with your situation. And that sarcasm that you love so much, it just might be a defense mechanism against pain. Maybe you're the overachiever. And you're so afraid of failing that you put all your effort into your job and your favorite activities. And once anxiety starts, instead of dealing with your emotions, you go on to the next project, continually chasing success without satisfaction. Maybe you're the martyr. I have to admit, this one's painful for me to even describe because this is the mask that I'm tempted to wear. Martyrs focus on trying to help other people deal with their issues so they don't have to think about what they're dealing with themselves. Helping other people gives them a sense of false pride, but often they're unhealthier than the people they think they're helping. One type that really intrigues me is the loner. That's because loners don't really have to wear masks that often because they have no one there with them. And they're so afraid of revealing their shortcomings and struggle, they don't let anyone into their lives. So they go through all of this alone. Maybe you're able to see yourself in one of those examples. But know that there is hope. The cycle can end, and we find that hope in the verses for today. The verses tell us that prayer and confession with other believers will lead to healing. That's because love shared between Christians is powerful. And when we lift our hearts to the Lord for someone we care about, he hears us. And when we're struggling, we may not have the faith to ask God for healing, but our friends who want the best for us can ask for God's hand and power readily. Sometimes we lack the words to pray, but those who know us well can pray for things they know that we need. And not only is being prayed over a powerful act, it's a reflective act as well. Friends led by the Holy Spirit can help discern God's plan for our life and encourage us to listen to God's voice. In the gospel accounts, Jesus' physical touch had the power to heal. And I firmly believe that the laying of hands on prayer can produce that same power. And as hands of friends are placed on our shoulders in prayer, they affirm that God loves and cares for us, and that we're not expected to walk on this journey on our own. I've heard so many people say that when we're being prayed over, they can sense God's presence surrounding them. I've actually been talking about this whole laying on hands in prayer and praying out loud with some of my older mentors. And talking with them, they've said that that's a practice that's not done as much as it used to be. It was more common back in the day. And since we've neglected to continue to do that, I think we're missing out on an awesome opportunity to experience God's grace when we choose not to pray for each other in person. Confession is also an important tool to breaking the control cycle and taking off our masks. When we admit to our friends that we're struggling, they have an opportunity to affirm that God wants to heal. And when our sins are confessed to people we trust, they can be an avenue of God's grace to us. Good friends never excuse the sin in our lives, but they never, ever let us forget that God's forgiveness and mercy is readily available to us. So instead of bearing the burden of sin alone, we can have a group around us to provide support. And they can point you to Jesus and the power he has to heal our lives. And being authentic also creates a sense of accountability between close friends. And when friends know what your struggles and temptations are, they can sense when you're starting to put on a mask or fall into unhealthy habits or mindsets. And they can lovingly alert you of when you're in danger of falling back into the cycle of controlling or managing your own life instead of relying on God and maintaining fellowship with other believers. Admitting when we've done something wrong or we're going through something painful, it isn't easy. But once you experience authenticity with people who love you, it's like this huge weight that's been on your chest for so long gets lifted. Actually, our denomination, our faith tradition, has its beginnings and roots in this type of discipleship model. So John Wesley, the leader of the Methodist movement, urged people to meet in what he called banded discipleship groups. And these were groups of 3 to 5 people who met on a weekly basis to share their hearts and check in on one another. And the Methodist movement began for a whole multitude of reasons, but many people point to the banded discipleship as a key factor in the spread of Methodism. That's because people were meeting God in a way that they never had before in the system of prayer and confession with close friends. Lives were transformed as this authenticity and fellowship provided a fertile ground for the Holy Spirit to work. Our church believes in this type of community as well. And that's why every week we tell you that you don't have to bear the burden of prayer alone. We hope that you take us up on that offer. We believe that discipleship happens in the midst of close relationships. That's why we have small groups in hopes that they love, learn, and lead together. And if you don't have this type of support in your life, maybe you should think about starting a banded discipleship group. I've actually experienced this type of authenticity with a group of my friends in my own life. As a freshman in college, I was placed on a hall in the dormitory that would completely change my life forever. Johnson Fourth East was an anointed place. The residents of the hall began to meet for Bible study and fellowship every week. We called it Gather. We read scripture together, worshiped through song, and became such close friends. And as we grew close, we sensed that God had something deeper planned for our lives. Yeah, we were all Christians, but God wanted to transform our lives together. A few of us made an agreement to encourage each other, pray for one another, hold each other accountable, and pursue one another in love. And in the midst of this trusting fellowship, masks that we didn't even know we had started to crumble. For the first time in my life, I was able to admit my mistakes without shame. I could be real with these men. I could cry. I could scream. I could admit that I don't have all the answers. And when the temptation to put on a mask started to creep in, these brothers pulled me back into God's love with honesty. Sins that we had struggled with for so long were put to death, and we began to grow closer to God than we could ever imagine. As I think about the person I was before I was in this band of discipleship group, I see a person who is trying so hard to manage his sin in his own strength. It didn't work. I wasn't a healthy person. And on the outside, I probably looked like an upstanding young man. I was in church every waking moment and serving and participating as much as I could. But behind the mask was a guy who was teetering into a very dark place, a place filled with anxiety, perfectionism, and feeling like I had to fix anything and anyone who came into my path. But confessing my faults and my fears to these friends who really loved me and allowing them to pray over me gave God the opportunity to make me whole. And God still isn't done with me. I'm still tempted to put on a mask, to try to control my life and live in my own strength. But I know that as long as I continue being authentic with God and my friends who love Jesus and seek to support me in all I do, I'll continue to grow each and every day. It's sad because none of us live in the same area anymore, so we can't meet in person. But we call each other on almost a weekly basis to continue this band of discipleship. And maybe you should think about starting a band of discipleship meeting with a few of your closest friends. So Lydia and her friends actually use a resource from Seedbed, and she showed it to me, and it's really great. So I wanted to share it with you all. So this will be up on the Facebook page later today so you can see it. But they found this resource really useful, and it's a small card that kind of outlines what a band of discipleship meeting can look like. So it's split into three parts, and the first one is about fellowship and small talk, because to trust each other, we have to know each other, right, and love each other well. And then the second part are questions that you can ask one another. I'll be honest, they're pretty deep, they're kind of hard, they strike to your heart, but since you love and trust the people in the group, since they're your closest friends, hopefully you can answer those questions honestly. And third, like we talked about, how prayer for one another is so important and it's powerful. The last part is that you can pray about the questions that you just answered or whatever's going on in each other's life, so you close with prayer. So like I said, I'll put this up on the Facebook page. If you're interested, you can check it out. But I just hope that you would spend some time today and in the next coming weeks to pray about those people who you might want to be in this group with. See, God's plan from the beginning was authentic relationships. So please know that you don't have to do this alone. Would you pray with me? God, we are so grateful that you are a God who wants us in community, that you've placed people around us who care, that you've given us a church that understands that we're supposed to do ministry and life together. So God, as we're tempted to wear these masks, I pray that you would alert us that all we need is you and each other. God, help us not do this in our own strength because we're bound to fail. We need your strength and the strength of other people. We love you so much and we're thankful that you're a God who wants to be with us today. It's in Jesus' name I pray.